Welcome to the Kingsley Grant Show, the podcast dedicated to helping you become the leader everyone loves and wants to follow. Kingsley believes his leadership paradigm, Emotelligence, the art of succeeding where others failed, is the key to achieving this status. On this show, Kingsley guides you through the uncharted waters of emotional intelligence and leadership essentials, with the guarantee that upon exit, you will become more skilled in relationship management, decision-making, and job performance. Now here's your host, your coach, and your Sherpa, Kingsley Grant.
Here we go, here we go, here we go. This is your boy, Kingsley Grant, behind the Jamaican microphone, bringing you yet another show. Today, I am coming to you from the Command Center of the Emotelligent Leadership Institute, where I am in an undisclosed location because I'm reaching into the vault of where I have stacks and stacks of the resources that I have, especially for you. They are selected. So today, I'm going to reach as right now into the vault. Okay, I've got it. Yeah, let me put that down here. All right, we've got it. We've got it. And today we are going to unpack this episode as you have come to hear about the five ways leaders can confront underperforming employees without shattering their self-esteem. Now, let me say quickly that the word confront, I use it here in a very loose way, because when I was trying to figure a word, I find the right word to describe what a leader would do when they have to address an underperforming employee. I had a second thought about using the word confront, because I believe it sounds so negative. It's strong. And so I even thought about, how can they address? So five ways leaders can address underperforming employees. And that could have been used. But I wanted that sense of like, we know what we're doing. We know it's a confrontation in some regards. But I wanted to mention that I'm not looking at it from a standpoint of a fight, an attack, and you'll see as this show continue to unpack, right, to evolve, not evolve, but we begin to go deeper into this episode. You'll see what I'm talking about when I mention this. But have you ever had to, let's use the word confront, and you've heard me mention that, so I now can use it safely because you'll have an understanding of what I mean. Have you ever had to confront one of your team members? Do you recall what that was like? Especially the first one, right? I know for me, it's not something that I do easily. You could say that to some degree, I am conflict avoidant. And that is to some degree, because it's not always true. I try to avoid unnecessary conflict. Let's put it that way. And some leaders are very conflict avoidant. They will avoid any kind of conflict. Anything that looks like, oh, it could end up like where we have to sit down and have a hard conversation. And so they'll put off things. I remember working with in a context, in an environment one time where this leader was such, they were very much conflict avoidant. They would avoid it at all costs. They would put off things and put off things and put off things. And sometimes it's when something really had to be addressed because you could no longer step over, go around, go under that issue. It had to be addressed, then they would address it. And many times at that time, it was a bit too late. A lot of damages have been done, not just in that relationship with the boss, but or with the employee, but also it's with others who were being impacted by what this person or persons were doing. And I found that to be frustrating because what I'm thinking, come on now, let's address the issue. You know, and what I also kind of like, one of my pet peeves was the issue is that with one person, right? And then it becomes a meeting for everybody, a memo for addressed to everyone because of the conflict avoidance kind of a habit or behavior. Instead of addressing that one person, they will address everybody in a very generic or a very generic way. And I'm wondering, does that person even know that they're talking about them? Because nothing changed. Things continued as they were. So obviously it wasn't working. But I really have a hard time. Now, I'm not that extreme. I don't immediately run into conflict. However, if I see the necessity, I will muster up enough muscles, enough kind of, you know, gumption, if that's a word. But I just will do something so I can actually address the issue. And here's the thing. When it's done, you feel so much better. At least I do. It's off my chest. It's no longer there creating stress and tension in my life because I know there's something that I have to do, need to do, but didn't do it. And whenever that happens, it's stressful, right? Am I right? Do you experience? Have you ever experienced that? I have also been on the other side where I had to be the one, right, being confronted. And it's always awkward. It's never a very, you know, pleasant activity, right? I guess some people have no qualms, no issue. Their makeup is such where they don't think twice. They just walk into that where men fear to trod. And they just step into that. They don't care. And here's a funny thing. Those individuals can do it and move on. And it's as if nothing happened. They don't think about it anymore. They're just about their business. You're sitting back stewing and they're like, next. And I'm thinking, come on. You just destroyed me. You just tore into me. You just, you know, and make up this, make it even more exaggerated, right, of what the person did. And they're gone about their business. I'm losing sleep. They're not. Some people are that way. And I don't know where you find yourself on the scale of being very conflict avoidant and the one that just stormed in like a bull in a china shop, right? You just don't really think twice about it because you just deal with it, move on. I guess some people are that way. I don't have that. I have some of that within me. When I need to do something, I will get it done, right? But what I find, though, that there are times, you know, in my book, The Emotelligent Leader Succeed Where Others Failed, one of the chapters, you know, I talk about 7 essential traits of leadership. And the last trait that I mentioned is leadership is directorship. And the reason why I mentioned that at the last, after listing all the first 6 leadership essential skills, is because there comes a time that a leader have to make tough decisions. A leader have to confront, for lack of a better word. A leader may have to fire someone, may have to demote someone, right? Those are just part of the leadership. And I outline in my book that when that time does come, you have already established a relationship with your team members that they really didn't, they were not surprised. They didn't, they cannot say they didn't see coming, because you have done all the preliminary things. You have kind of notified them in many ways that, you know, they need to kind of shape up, like we're going to talk about today. And how do you do that in a very, in the best practice manner, there, so you can get the better, the a best outcome, right? How can you do that? And so I find that as a director of the ship, so to speak, you have to then make tough decisions. But there is a way to go about doing it where you minimize the collateral damage. You really reduce that damage which will be done. Now, here's the thing. You cannot do something like this without having some kind of feelings that someone may feel hurt a little bit, feel as if, like, you know, under the spotlight and their anxiety level has gone up. You know, that is part of the whole thing. But I do believe, though, that you can still do it in a manner without shattering that person's self-esteem. So, Kingsley, what then are the five ways leaders can confront underperforming employees? Well, let me, before we get into that, let me just say that make sure you have assessed and you know the facts. It's not because of someone have told you, not because you feel that way, but this is factual. You have looked at the numbers. You have looked at data that lets you know this employee is underperforming, right? There are many metrics you can use to determine that, and I won't go into that right now, but you probably have your own metrics, their own system in place that you can use to determine whether a person is performing or not. You know, that's why leaders, many times I find when people do their, you know, 90-day reviews or whatever time they do an employee review, right, and give them a feedback of how they're doing, they have been documenting along the way and determine, based upon what they've seen, how this person has been performing, whether they should get a certain percentage raise or not, or even a promotion, right? That's how it works, isn't it so? So there's something in place that you want to make sure that you have that documented. You don't want to allege something because of someone have told you, or you're feeling that way, or it seems that way, or you think that. No, it can't be any of those ambiguities. It has to be very factual. Here is what has happened. Here is what is happening, and we need to do something about it. That is what you're doing in this meeting, right? So the first thing that I believe that as a leader, that how you can confront an underperforming employee without shattering their self-esteem is, number one, accept responsibility. Wow, Kingsley, are you serious? Accept responsibility? For what? Why should I accept responsibility when it's the employee who is underperforming? Are you kidding me? No, I'm not, my friend. That is where you start. You accept responsibility by simply saying, you know, John, Jane, I want to begin our meeting by letting you know that what we'll discuss have to do with my shortcomings. I can admit, accept my shortcomings in this. I had a part to play in this, and I want you to know that. I want you to know that our discussion today, our meeting, I want to upfront let you know, I am also guilty. Now, what you're doing is setting the stage, and that person is thinking, okay, well, I guess I'm not like the bad boy, the bad guy, the bad girl. I'm not the bad, you know, the fall person here. You, the leader, is sharing in what has happened, right? So the first thing is accept responsibility. And you want to word that the way you best fits you and the relationship you have with your employee. That's how you want to make sure you accept that responsibility. And simply saying, you know, as a leader of this place, this company, this organization, this team, whatever happens and doesn't happen, it, you know, the buck stops with me. It falls on my shoulder. And so I don't blame anybody. You will not hear me. And if you hear me sound like I'm blaming you, please let me know. Because I'm not blaming anything and anyone. Okay. So the first is accept responsibility. Second, after you've accepted responsibility, praise their strengths. And you say, Kingsley, I don't know their strength. Really? Well, what are you doing leading them? You know, in my book, The Immortelligent Leader, Succeed Where Others Failed, I talk about this idea of how you would, you know, one of the essential traits is leadership is relationship. And I talk about the need to build a relationship with your people, getting to know, like, letting them get to know, like, and trust you, being vulnerable, being relatable, you know, being likable. That is the kind of things that you want people to be able to connect with you, connect the dots, right? So you should get to know them because you have talked with them. You have acknowledged their strengths in many settings up until this point. And so you want to praise their strengths. Thank them for their hard work, if that's what it is. Thank them for their ability to communicate, to be a team player, to whatever it is you have identified, praise their strengths. Number three, offer to help. Now, John, Jane, you know, we are discussing about how can we really get performance and productivity better than it is right now. Is there anything I can help you with to make that happen? Is there anything that you're going to need from us, from me, to help you do a better job? Is there anything that I have done, we have done, that have prevented you from doing the best work, considering the person you are, considering that you have these strengths I've described? Is there anything that we have done or is doing that's getting in your way, that's preventing you from being what it is that you want to be? Is there anything we've not given you to help you make your job easier and better, that within reason, of course, that we can actually do, that is probably at work here? So you want to then offer to help them. And then, having done that, you are simply saying, well, John, Jane, having offered to help and removed any of the blockages you've described, we're agreeing that these things got in the way, or these things were, you didn't have all the tools for the trade, and now I'm going to make them available. So I've discovered some things, and so, okay, I can see how this, that, whatever it is, led to underperformance. Okay. I raise my hand. I'm guilty of that. And I see where, okay, John, Jane, we've now identified the issue. Now let's work on it. Let's work on that. So you're now going to allow them to take the new information, the new support, and everything else that happened there back into on the playing field, into the game, right? You know, I watch sometimes sports like soccer or American football, and sometimes the coach mostly in American football, because soccer, it just doesn't work this way. But they would pull someone off the field for a brief moment, and the coach will have a conversation with the player. And, you know, I don't know what's been discussed, but it could be like, come on, man. You've got to put your head in the game. What's going on? Is there something? And they say, okay, here's what you would need to do. Now go back in the game. So they came at a huddle. So you could call this almost like a huddle, right? It's a huddle you're having. And now you want to send them back in the game with this new findings. Here's the thing, though. Number four, follow up, and assess progress. So you want to give some time frame. So John, Jane, what about if we revisit this conversation in 3 weeks or 4 weeks? Enough time that they can actually show themselves, right? Show that they have made some adjustment and they're doing better. Just enough time. So you follow up and assess their progress. How are they doing today? How's the data showing? What is the data showing? And obviously, if the data is showing that they're progressing, if all indication is that they're doing a whole lot better now than they've done in the past, then you want to then applaud the effort, applaud the results, applaud the fact that you identified the cog in the wheel and you both have removed that. And you again apologize for not realizing this before now, which could have avoided this conversation, right? So you want to make sure you're constantly put that there. Take the weight on your shoulder, so to speak. Once you've followed up and assessed progress. Now, here's the thing. The question you might be asking, Kingsley, what if there's no progress? What if nothing changes? What if things even got worse? Well, the fifth way is where that comes in. Because once you've assessed and you've followed up and you've removed the cog in the wheel, you've identified what that person, John, Jane, said was the issue. You've offered them support. You've offered them the help. You've offered whatever it is. And still nothing changes, then there's something else. Number five is mutually agree on the future. Mutually agree on the future. What do I mean by that? I simply mean that at this point, you can say, hey, John, Jane, you know, we had a conversation. We discussed the matter. We identified what the issue, our issues were, and yet there's nothing changing. So here's the thing where I wonder, maybe this is not a good fit for you. Maybe it seems like either the department, the position, or the company is not a good fit. Which do you think it is? And we want what you want to do is mutually agree on what the future should look like. Should it be where the person is relocated within the company, if possible? Could it be that they are a square peg in a round hole, that's the hole is not where they're supposed to be? Could it be that they're just really, you know, they're done. This is not the right fit for them. And so you're going to create at number five, mutually agree on the future, an out, a lateral move, you know, in the company. And then or a probationary period. But this is where you're mutually agreeing on what needs to happen in the future. And that employee can help you decide on what happens. Because again, you're having this conversation with them. You are not doing this in a vacuum. They know. They're aware. You brought them in, had a conversation. Now you're at this point. So you make a decision on that, right? But it's mutually agreed upon, meaning that you've assessed and say, hey, John, Jane, I guess it's not really working. We've done this, we've done that, nothing has changed. And so I'm wondering maybe that this is not a right fit. That's a key word right there, a key phrase. And so we need to find out what might be a better fit for you. And here are the options and let them decide, right? You could ask them to think about it and come back and let you know within 3 days or whatever time frame you want to give that, or within the next 24 hours, whatever, or by the end of the day, however you want to frame that, that's up to you. But these five ways, my friend, I believe that as a leader, you can confront, and I put air quotes here, confront underperforming employees without shattering their self-esteem. Number one, accept responsibility. Number two, praise their strengths. Number three, offer to help. Number four, follow up and assess progress. And number five, mutually agree on the future, right? That is what you could do. Well, again, like if the person have done well, I mentioned before, applaud, praise, again, take responsibility and put them back in the game. And, you know, there you go. So my friend, I hope these five ways I described, as you know, my goal is here is to help you each and every time get one skill closer to becoming the leader everyone loves and wants to follow. Becoming the leader that succeed where others failed. Finding your best hope. So that is what my goal is, and I hope that today we got a bit closer. I would say we did. What would you say? I would love to hear what your thoughts are. I've mentioned before, you can do that on Apple Podcast. Share your thoughts. Give a rating and a review. And also on my social media, you can follow me when I post this. You can just comment on that. Let me know what your thoughts are. And so we can have an ongoing conversation. You can also join us in our Facebook group at Immotelligent Leaders. Just type in Immotelligent Leaders. You'll find the group. And you can request to join. There are three questions you must complete first. And then we'll invite you in based upon your answers you gave, right? So that's what I want to recommend and strongly suggest to you. So my friend, we are at the point right now where we need to get this episode, this episode of this show back into the vault where we securely keep these locked away because they're of high value and we want nothing to happen to them. So would you help me? Let's put this back into the vault. Here we go. There it is. Now that it's securely placed in the vault, I can now exit the command center of the Immotelligent Leadership Institute and say goodbye. So with that said, my friend, peace out, God bless, and I'll see you on the flip side. Yeah.